Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids, going to cons is our.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, welcome back. We are the Long Box guys, and today we're going to be talking about comic book stuff, because that's all we ever talk about, because that's what we love. How's everybody doing tonight?
Excellent.
Meh.
Good. Josh, how are you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm back to an old standard, Atwater's Vanilla Java Porter, which I very much enjoy, in my aircraft aluminum mug, which keeps it cold for an extra 30 minutes. I'm doing okay.
All right. Tommy, how you doing and what you drinking?
I'm doing good, and I am drinking Lost Distillery's Tallymore, and it is delicious.
All right. Mike, how you doing and what you drinking?
I'm doing excellent, and I have a dead partner as usual.
How about some Gatorade handy also, because you have been known to break into tears during our conversations, and, you know, we don't want you to dehydrate over there.
Yeah, I talked to my wife after our last podcast, and she was like, Josh made you cry? No kidding, commercials make you cry. Basically, she called me a... I can't use that word, because we'll be censored on iTunes if I do.
We're going to be talking about the Teen Titans today. Teen Titans is you know, a superhero group in the DC universe, one of Mikey's favorites. Mikey, why don't you give us a little background on the Teen Titans?
I would love to. The Teen Titans first appeared in Brave and the Bold number 54 on April 30th in 1954. It was created by artist Bruno Primani and writer Bob I Don't Give a Shit About Continuity Haney. The first meeting was Aqualad, Kid Flash, and Robin as they battled the sinister Mr. Twister. They didn't actually go by the name the Teen Titans until their second story in Brave and the Bold number 60, where they're joined by Wonder Girl, and that was in 1965. It's got an amazing cover where Aqualad is riding a swordfish, Robin is surfing, and Wonder Girl is standing on his shoulders trying to lasso the Kid Flash out of the hands of a giant sea monster. Fun fact, when I say Haney doesn't give a damn, I mean it. Wonder Girl was originally the teenage version of Wonder Woman and introduced by Robert Kanager in 1958 because Silver Age, and that shit sucked. Well, Haney didn't bother to do any kind of research and just saw a cover with Wonder Girl, Wonder Tot, and Wonder Woman on it and assumed Wonder Girl must be Wonder Woman's teen sidekick. And so he put her in the comic book and didn't find out until, I don't know, about a year later, that it wasn't actually Wonder Woman's sidekick. The team didn't even call her by her name. They just called her either Wonder Girl or Wonder Chick because they were hip. They were so hip, in fact, that the other writers in DC constantly made fun of Bob Haney for trying to get with the slang of the time. I'm pretty certain Bob Haney watched a bunch of Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello surf movies and decided all teens must speak like that, because that's the kind of dialogue you get. There's a number of amazing villains in the early days of the Teen Titans. They got their own comic book starting in 1965, and it was bi-monthly and was published until 1973. Some of their villains include the Ding Dong Daddy Dowd, who has a demon dragster, the British fop fashion designer named Mad Maud, and a killer robot named Honey Bunny. A number of other Teen Titans, other teen heroes are introduced along the way, including Beast Boy from the Doom Patrol. In issue number 18, Marv Wolfman and Len Wein came in, and they wrote a couple stories for the Teen Titans. This one introduced a teen superhero from Russia who works for the KGB named Starfire, which, as we know, will come into play later on. They also wrote a script for the first black superhero in DC Comics. It was who's going to be called Jericho. However, the editor at the time, Carmine Infantino, decided, no, we don't want to introduce a black superhero yet. And so they were told to scrap that. They didn't want to do that. So instead, he brought in Neil Adams to rewrite the script and make the guy white. Let's see. Other team members who were introduced included Speedy, the Green Arrow sidekick, Hawk and Dove, a teen psychic named Lilith Clay, a Cro-Magnon kid named Gnark, and a black kid named Mal Duncan, who didn't have any superpowers. For a while there, the teen was non-costume international spies working for a billionaire philanthropist named Mr. Jupiter. Mercifully, this series ended in with issue number 43. 3 years later, the Teen Titans came back in August of 1976 with issue number 44, where they battled Dr. Light. And this was my first encounter with the Teen Titans, because I was in Don's barbershop and waiting for the drunk barber to give me a crooked haircut. But the best part about Don's was he had a whole stack of comics. And this is where I read the first Teen Titans comics. And I thought it was revolutionary, because the Teen Titans didn't get along with each other. They argued with each other, which is something I'd never seen in any of the Justice League comics up to that point. So I was very excited. It was different and new for me, and I became a lifelong fan. Did you guys ever read any of those Silver Age Teen Titans?
Yeah, I read some of those. I think I probably read them in Don's barbershop. Actually, I think I got a stack of those at the Palmer Public Library. It was one of the few stacks they had over there, was those Teen Titans. So, yeah, I read some of those. How about you, Tommy?
I've read some of the Silver Age stuff in the Showcase Presents phone book editions. And some of the Daddy-O ones were really, really horrible.
Yeah, it was super groovy.
They were super groovy.
My DC experience was either magic or space, and Teen Titans was neither in magic, neither had magic, nor was in space. So it's something I came around to later.
Well, when the Teen Titans series, the first volume, got canceled, a few years later in 1980, they came out with the new Teen Titans, and Marv Wolfman returned, this time with superstar artist George Perez, and they revolutionized DC Comics. They made the Teen Titans, whereas the Justice League is kind of like the Avengers for the DC Universe. They're the big names. They're the heavy hitters. The Teen Titans were a family that was formed by a group of kids who decided that this was the closest thing that they could have to a family. Again, it's had Kid Flash. It had Aqualad. It had Robin. It had Wonder Girl. Excuse me, Aqualad wasn't in the new Teen Titans. They introduced a number of new characters, including Beast Boy got his name changed to Changeling, and Raven, Cyborg, and an alien Starfire came along. This became the best-selling comic of DC Comics. So popular, in fact, that by 1982, they decided to team the Teen Titans up with the most popular comic in Marvel Comics, The Uncanny X-Men, for an amazing crossover, which was the first time I actually read The Uncanny X-Men. At the end of the book, I don't know if you guys remember it, there was an advertisement for Kitty Pryde, and I actually thought it was a brand of cat litter.
That can walk through walls. It's cat litter who can walk through walls, though.
Well, I didn't know. I was like, "Who's? What
it
kid
really
is
makes
I
the odor disappear?"
So the Teen Titans were the most popular comic for quite a while. In fact, at one point in 1984, they restarted the comic book and put it into the deluxe Baxter form. This is significant because DC decided to do direct market right to comic book stores, which they hadn't done in the past. Before then, there weren't a lot of comic book stores around to sell these Baxter editions. So when we were kids, if we wanted to go get a comic book, you had to go down to the local newsstand and see if one was there, go along the spinner rack and see if you could find anything new. And it was like a treasure hunt trying to find issues. When you missed an issue, you were pretty much shit out of luck unless you went to a flea market or something or a garage sale and were able to find some. So the Teen Titans had a bunch of different iterations. They're not important. forget the rest of them. Nothing happens in the Teen Titans that really matter until 2003, when Jeff Johns takes over writing the third volume of the Teen Titans. And that is based more like the Young Justice cartoon that you guys see from the comics. And it was meant to reflect the Teen Titans television show that they had going on. This time, the Robin character is Tim Drake, introducing the Kid Flash is no longer Wally West. Kid Flash is now Bart Allen. Wonder Girl is no longer Donna Troy. It's Cassandra. And Superboy's introduced to the team, along with, you know, Raven being a part of it and Cyborg being a part of it again as the older, more experienced members. And that's how the team pretty much went until the New 52, when they ruined them. They ripped out the entire history of the DC of the Teen Titans, and the Teen Titans that Tim Drake formed in the New 52 were supposedly the first group of Teen Titans. And this is important because there was a comic book series, which is my favorite series that I'd recommend for you guys if you want to be readers of the Teen Titans, to go check out. It's called Titans Hunt by Dan Abnett. And in this series, the original Titans get together because there's an external threat, but they don't know each other because in New 52 continuity, they had never been the Teen Titans yet. Somehow they have memories of them being the Teen Titans, and they can't figure out why. They think it's because of a guy named Mr. Twister, who they find and fight, who was their first villain, and he had made them all forget that they were Teen Titans. But something's still not right, even at the end of it, because they're like, this doesn't make any sense. Mr. Twister is not powerful enough to make everyone in the world forget. And they have a feeling that there's another Titans member they're forgetting. They just can't remember who it is. That's my recommendation. What do you guys think for your favorite Teen Titans series?
Well, got to go with the Raven Triton, the first Raven Triton in the cartoon, where Raven's father, Triton, tries to come into this reality, and Raven and the Teen Titans have to fight him back. I really thought that was a terrific storyline. I remember some of it from in the comic books from the old Palmer Public Library. Mike, about what year was that when Raven's father was trying to break into our reality?
It's actually happened several times. The first Trigon story was the when the Titans were first formed, and that was in the 1980s. That's the New Teen Titans series. It it highlighted the battle. Raven had used her empathetic skills to kind of gather the team and manipulate them into getting them built up in order to fight Trigon. Unbeknownst to the team members, they didn't realize that she was affecting their emotions and such. In fact, it really messed with Wally West so much so that he was having feelings for Raven, and he wasn't sure if it was because she was using her powers on him or not that he ended up quitting the New Teen Titans.
Oh, kind of a little Star Fox catch 22 there. Nice. I really enjoyed that comic book back in the day, and I thought Trigon was a pretty scary guy. That was a scary character, a scary looking character for me at least at the time, and I thought it was pretty scary in the cartoon. Yeah, that was one of my favorites. Sorry to have it so short and sweet, but I don't have a very deep understanding or knowledge of the Teen Titans. And do you know what brought me the most out of the Teen Titans? Anybody want to guess?
Cyborg?
Nope. How could a
Beast
giant
Boy, always the same key... color?
That always messed with me a little bit, I'll admit that. How could a building be a giant T and not fall apart?
Architecture?
Yeah, I know. There
different
are people
materials?
Who fly in and out of the building all the time. But the thing that was throwing me off was I don't think that building could stand like that. Even though it probably could have stood like that.
It could have stood like that, I bet.
Yeah, I know, but that was the thing that I couldn't get. That's what, like, that building's stupid looking. And I kind of dismissed the comic book. That's stupid of me, but that's one of the things that was going on in my head. Sorry. Tommy, you were a Teen Titans fan, weren't you?
Like Josh, I've never read a lot of DC comics, and like I said, I read some of the Silver Age stuff and was never too thrilled with it, daddy-o. But, you know, I started to read some of the New 52 stuff when Mike wanted to pick this topic, and I found it very, very slow reading and decided I was not going to find my my favorite storyline in there. And so I read some of the older stuff, and in the Marv Wolfman, George Perez, New Teen Titans number 38, the story of Donna Troy, Wonder Girl. This was a retelling of Wonder Girl's origin. And even though I knew what was going to happen in every step of this story because it was so tropish, at the same time, it was so heartwarmingly told through Marv Wolfman's writing and George Perez's artwork that it was very heartwarming. And I'd say that that was my favorite story that I've read of the Teen Titans, where Donna Troy is getting ready to be married to her fiance, and Robin is trying to be nice and help her track down her origin because she knows that she was orphaned and brought to Paradise Island by Wonder Woman and taken in by the Amazons, but she doesn't know anything about her parents and she wants to know more about her parents. And so Robin, being the trained detective that he is, helps her track down her origin story. And it just, even though it had twists and turns, you could clearly see where the story was going to go every step of the way. But it was still just very heartwarming story, and it was just great. And I recommend it. New Teen Titans number 38 is what I would say was my favorite.
Yeah, the Teen Titans had a way of doing that. George Perez, when he was drawing, is just such an excellent artist. He could bring out emotions of the people just from his drawings. But then when you add Marv Wolfman, who's such an incredible writer, a lot of times they did the same thing that the Uncanny X-Men used to do under Chris Claremont. They would pull back away for a little bit and let you see what the lives of the Teen Titans were like when they weren't out doing superhero stuff. There's one issue early on in the series, issue number 8, where the whole issue is just focused in on following the Titans as they go through just their daily lives and how they interact with other people who are outside of the normal comic book realm. It's very well done. What about you, Josh?
I was pulled in because of the parallels with Young Justice. So once I started watching Young Justice, clearly anything those characters in, I wanted to hunt down and read. So really, Rebirth for me is sort of the series I've been reading. I've been really enjoying it. I know they've got the two teens now, Titans and the Teen Titans. I still lean towards the Teen Titans themselves. I really like the Damian Wayne character. They haven't really had enough time to really do much with Aqualad yet, as far as I've read. I like Blue Beetle. I love Beast Boy. And Starfire and Raven. The cast is really good. It's basically Young Justice without Superboy. The writing's been pretty good, and I really like how they make Damian Wayne sort of so nasty and tricky and good at what he does that he kind of, when they're doing their little training montages, he embarrasses the people with superpowers, and I appreciate that a lot.
I'm surprised that nobody mentioned the Judas contract, which is the most...
It's because I don't speak Spanish, Mike.
You still haven't got that fixed? That's no bueno, Josh.
No, they did eventually fix it. I have watched it. I actually didn't read the comic, though. I haven't done that yet. I got to go back.
The comic book, you shouldn't read just the graphic novel called The Judas Contract, because you really need to read the issues leading up to it, because then you can see how... They do a great job of introducing Tara, who's a bad guy that the Teen Titans are trying to reform, little realizing that Tara is just so evil and is working for – spoilers – is working for Deathstroke and is going to try to weasel her way into the team to learn all their secret identities and all their secrets so she can turn it over to Deathstroke so he can then proceed to kill them all. It is a great storyline, and I freaked out when I read it because at one point there are very few comics where as soon as I read something, I am flabbergasted and I want to talk to somebody about it. And thank God Brian Tierney, who lived right around the corner from my house, was also a Teen Titans fan, because I literally stopped reading the comic and ran over to his house to talk to him about it. And I made him read the comic because in it, it's revealed not only is Tara working for Deathstroke, but Tara, the 16-year-old, has been sleeping with Deathstroke, the Terminator, who's got to be in at least his 50s or so at this point. It was so flipping mind-blowing. I was like, holy crap.
Plus, it's revealed that she's a smoker, which is weird. Like, she's only 14.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
in the updated animated version, they skirt that idea, but basically imply that that doesn't happen, that Deathstroke is just teasing her with the possibility of the relationship. They sort of cut that down to size because of her age.
So
they made her. She was more the sexual aggressor in the comic book in a lot of ways.
Oh, she is in the animated one too.
So Josh, was she still smoking in the animated one?
No smoking in the animated one, as far as I remember.
Oh, that's good.
So they got rid of the sexual relationship in the Judas contract between Tara and Deathstroke, but added a sexual relationship in the Killing Joke between Bruce Wayne and Barbara Gordon. Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. That's
called equilibrium.
Yeah, that's right. Or creepilibrium? I don't know.
So before we leave the subject of the Teen Titans, in preparing for this, I was reading some of the Teen Titans from the 50-year celebration of the Teen Titans, and there was a little blurb that Marv Wolfman had written where he was really glad in the 80s to be able to work on the Teen Titans again with George Perez, because in the Teen Titans he could work on any type of book he wanted. Because he had Cyborg, so he could work on a tech book if he wanted. He could do science fiction type stuff because Cyborg was there. If he wanted to do a sword and sorcery type story, fantasy story, he could because Raven was there. If he wanted to do a space story, he could because Starfire was there. If he wanted to do just a straight up superhero story, he could because Robin and Wonder Girl were there. And so he was excited because he could do any type of story he wanted to do in comics because all of the elements were in the Teen Titans. So I think that kind of illustrates one of the reasons why the Teen Titans was such a good cohesive team in the 80s and why it was probably one of the best books of that time period, because they had such a diversity and the writing was able to take on any sort of direction it wanted.
Fun Eric fact. What do Mr. Twister, Red Robin, Wonder Girl, Raven and Beast Boy all have in common? They are all strains of marijuana. Yeah, I did a quick search earlier because I knew that some marijuana growers were now kind of using superhero names for some of their stuff. So I wanted to see how many Teen Titans I could find. Mr. Twister, you just happened to say it at the beginning, so I used that first. And I'm like, boom, right there. So all of those can be marijuana strains now, guys. Or I should say are marijuana strains. Mikey, got anything fun at the front of the law box?
Yeah, at the front of the long box, I have the Titans series. It is part of the new rebirth. I know Josh prefers the Teen Titans, but I am classic. I like the originals because in the Titans rebirth, you find out who that missing Titan was from Titans Hunt. And it is Wally West, the real Kid Flash, or Flash, depending on your point of view, who has returned. And it's just a great comic. And they are trying to figure out who stole the 5 years out of continuity. And they have found out that I believe there's a guy named Mr. Oz who may be behind it. Or if he's not behind it, he's certainly involved somehow. So that series has been excellent. It's a throwback to the old days. And if you're wondering what's going on with the whole the Watchmen crossing over into the DC universe. This is at the spearhead, along with the crossover I talked about last week, the Button crossover. So the Titans are at the forefront of trying to solve this mystery.
And let's hope they do, because 5 years is a long time. Tommy, you got anything fun at the back of the long box?
I do. I have Nighthawk, Hate Makes Hate. It's not too old. It was released in December of 2016. It's part of the Nighthawk from 2016 series. This was a Marvel series about Nighthawk, who is kind of a Batman-ish type character. He's a superhero who relies on gadgets and training, has no specific superpowers of his own. He's from an alternate universe in the Marvel universe, and he is trying to clean up Chicago in his own sort of way. And he is investigating a serial killer who just happens to be killing off people that are really, really, really bad to African American people. And all the while, he is also taking out some illegal gun smuggling, and it's a very good book, but the art wasn't that great, in my opinion. The art kind of looked like it was from the 80s, but the book itself was pretty good. I recommend it, especially if you like Nighthawk like I do. I like all the Squadron Supreme characters. It was fantastic, and it involves a lot of social things, which I think you would enjoy, Tommy, because it deals with gentrification and sort of manipulation of real estate markets and a lot of racism.
So. Well, everyone likes gentrification and real estate markets. Don't you, Mike?
I know I like the series. David Walker was the writer of that series, right?
David Walker was a writer, and worked on the series with Martin Morazzo and Raymond Villalobos and Denise Cohen.
Yeah, so the story is an homage to the old Defender story, where Nighthawk is involved in, except in this case, he's trying to hunt down the guys who are arming gangs that are causing violence, which is decreasing the property value of these neighborhoods, so that way the bad guy can buy up the real estate. Does that sound familiar to you, Tom?
Absolutely. We're talking about the Sons of the Serpent story run. I've read it many times, and it is one of the few times that Luke Cage has ever uttered a swearish type word. It's the only time he's ever uttered anything that was kind of a racist comment. When he finds out that the head of the Serpent Society, or the one who's really behind it, is Nighthawk's, Nighthawk, is that his name? Yeah. It's actually one of his high-level managers who happens to be African-American. Power Man punches him in the face and calls him an Oreo. One of the very few times that Power Man ever stoops to using kind of a racially charged word in a comic book. It's a great series, though.
So this is kind of the same general storyline, but it's Nighthawk working alone with a partner who's offering tech support.
If you guys like Batman but don't think he's violent enough, this is your series.
This is definitely your jam if you don't think Batman is violent enough.
Well, everyone likes violence. That's a little tangential to what we were talking about, though. Speaking of tangential, Josh, you have a tangent for us?
Sure. Make so me cry, earlier Josh. I'm going to desperately try not to make you cry this week, Mike. So earlier we were talking about Young Justice, which, as some of you may or may not know, Season 3, announced last month, is already in production. Thanks to a tweet from Kerry Payton, who's the voice of Calder, a.k.a. Aqualad. Some of you folks out there who don't know the actor, he's mostly voice acting, but he's been in the latest season of The Walking Dead as Ezekiel, the dude with the tiger. I think he's the dude with the tiger. Anyway, I stopped watching that show. Anyway, so Young Justice coming out finally, whatever, 10 years later after the second season. If you had the ability to have just one more season of any show, which show do you get an extra season of?
Firefly.
Firefly is a good one.
Don't take mine. You get your own. There's plenty for everyone.
I'm going to have to go with Jack of All Trades.
Bruce Campbell, thanks you for the work.
he owes me a dollar. Honestly, it would either be Jack of all trades or Briscoe County. If those were both great.
You know, I think Burn Notice.
Ugh.
Bum Notice?
I love Burn Notice. I love Burn
Notice. Worst lettering in a TV show ever. Every time I saw that, I just saw Bum Notice. So I'm like, Bum Notice? What is this show
But
about?
I like the show. I love the show.
Burn Notice had like 10 great episodes and then went to plop. Oh, Middleman. I changed to Middleman. Middleman ruled.
It's like I want to say Battlestar Galactica in like the second season. Because... I wanted more of the good first couple of seasons, but then it continued on, and it was not good.
It's a tough call for me. I actually hadn't thought about it too much, and I would have said Young Justice, except I am getting a third season, so I feel pretty privileged there. I might say Penny Dreadful.
Yeah.
I would take another season of Penny Dreadful. I mean, Firefly's taken. That probably would be the top of my list, but barring that, maybe Penny Dreadful.
Maybe Golden Girls again. One more year.
One more year,
Golden Girls. I love those octogenarian gals. They were my friends, and I thank them for being such.
What if you had a party?
You know what? If I had a party, invited like everybody, they'd be the first ones there. They would.
Would you? Give
oh man, I'm gonna cry. Concert? I'm gonna cry. Oh, I'm gonna cry. Stop it. And that brings me over to my little section on social justice. This week I'm going to talk about a documentary that I just discovered. It's only been out for a little while, though. Have any of you guys watched Batman and Bill yet?
No.
I want to make sure I got the Batman and Bill. It's a documentary about Bill Finger, and it asks the question, who really created Batman? As a lot of you guys know, Bob Kane took pretty much all the credit for a long, long time about creating the Batman. But here's a weird thing. At the very beginning, Bob Kane wasn't quite so adamant. He was kind of an out thing that, oh, well, Bob Kane and Bill Finger created Batman. And then slowly but surely, Bob Kane started taking more and more credit. Later, saying that he had come up with initial drawings when he was in his teens of what the Batman should look like, which was... you know, totally a falsification. Bill Finger took a look at some of Bob Kane's early imaginings of the Batman and totally changed it. The early Batman had like an orange, looked more like a Robin suit than the Bat cape, and Bill Finger kind of changed it. And so Bob Kane kind of let his own legend start obscuring the facts, and slowly but surely he started building these bigger and bigger lies about how little he thought that Bill Finger did and how much that Bob Kane had done. So it's kind of interesting to see this structured lie become, you know, deconstructed. Even listening to some of Bill Finger and Bob Kane talking at early comic book conventions. Fortunately, there's some tapes of these where they talk about how they created Batman together. And later, Bob Kane recants all that, even though the tape is right there. You can listen to the tape of them joking around and talking about who did what in the early things and, you know, who created Gotham and who created Arkham Asylum and the Joker and all these other, you know, things that are iconic and, you know, just, you know, absolutely the Batman universe. So it's a good documentary, too, though I think the documentarian reaches around a little hard to pat himself on the back, Barry Horowitz style, a few too many times, and gives himself a little too much credit. So everyone watch it. It's free. It's on Netflix. It's a good documentary.
And unfortunately,
Bill Finger died without getting almost any money from anything of the Batman you know, legacy. He died in obscurity and in poverty. The only thing he ever got a real credit for was writing one Batman script for the TV show, which he was very proud of, but he really deserved a lot more. All right, I think that's just about going to do us. I know we don't have a letter this week. Anyone want to read one of our reviews?
Sure, I'll read a review from DeHope141. This is on iTunes, so if you are listening to us and you listen to us through iTunes, please go ahead and give us a review. We'd appreciate it. That's how other people are able to find us from our reviews. This is a 5-star review. Thank you, DeHope141. It says, "This is a great podcast. I'm not a comic book reader, but I enjoyed discussions about the different characters each episode. If you like comic books, you really need to check this one out. I just wish there was more discussion on Stiltman." Don't we all? In fact, last week, I believe, Tom, you mentioned Batroc's Brigade.
Yes.
You know why Batroc's Brigade never succeeded?
No Stiltman?
Yes, sir. Thank you for agreeing with me.
I always agree with you. I should put up the video of me. Have you guys seen the video that I posted of me walking on the stilts? So my next door neighbor is as the Stiltman. My next door neighbor is has a plastering company, and he had a pair of plastering stilts, and he brought them over because he thought that I could pull off a Stiltman cosplay with them. If you guys remember that my next door neighbor is a closet comic book nerd who's also a contractor, and he doesn't like talking about comic books with the boys on the crew because he doesn't want to come off as nerdy. So he has a secret stash of comic books, which the Longbox Legion has provided him with more comic books to read, which is very nice of everyone. So he brought over these stilts, and I have to say they're not as hard to walk on as I thought. I got used to standing on them very quickly, and I was able to move back and forth and turn around on them within about 5 or 10 minutes. So I think a Stiltman cosplay might be in my future. These were only 4-footers, though. Let's talk about this month's contest. Tommy, do we have a contest this month?
We do. We are giving away Wanted by Mark Millar and J.G. Jones. This is an excellent, excellent graphic novel that was made into a not-so-excellent movie. You can win this by emailing luckybastard@outsidethelongbox.com and letting us know what you like about the podcast, what you don't like, what we could do better, suggest topics to us, whatever you like. Anyway, email us. Let us know.
I saw the movie first, and I thought, hey, that's a pretty good movie. Then I read the comic book, and it's a brilliant comic book. If I'd read the comic book first, I would have been pissed off at how just okay that movie was. And that movie was okay. I enjoyed the movie. But after reading the comic book, I'm like, oh, my God, you could have done so much better. The comic book is way better. But if you haven't read the comic book, you can see and enjoy the movie.
So there you go. It's an okay movie, but a brilliant comic book.
We, the Longbox guys, will be appearing at Massive Con in Worcester, Massachusetts, June 24th and 25th. We'll have a table in Artist's Row where we'll be giving away comic books. We might be recording some podcasts. We could do anything. Anything could happen. You don't know. You could be on the program. You could be on the podcast. You could win a comic book. You could meet us. We could throw stuff at you. Anything could happen.
And it will happen.
Tweet you.
We could.
That's right.
Yeah. What's our Twitter account, Tom?
Well, that's a very good-looking question, and thank you for asking it. We are the Longbox. You can just at the Longbox guys. Talk to us about pretty much anything you want. We're pretty easygoing. This week we talked a little bit too much about Trump and a little bit about a controversy that happened with an independent wrestler named Leva Bates, who got trolled by, I think it was a member of Kings of Leon. We talked a little bit about why the bass guitarist from Kings of Leon really shouldn't troll a female independent wrestler with misogynist comments, and I stick by my position. Who the hell does Kings of Leons think they are?
I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music. You can check him out at kirbycracklemusic.com or go to iTunes or Bandcamp and buy their music. You should also check us out on YouTube. Just search for the Longbox guys. We have a few videos up there. And if you are a fan of podcasts, which obviously you are because you're listening to us, there's some other friends of the podcast that you should check out, especially the Nola Nerd Couple. They just made me so jealous by talking about Comic Palooza, which I did not get to go to this year because I was stuck in Georgia for work. But it sounded like it was an awesome time. You should listen to their podcast and check out their episode on Comic Palooza and just all their episodes in general.
Agreed. They're super nice. We've met them many times at many different things, and they're always just so nice.
I would like to plug IanLino.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts, stained glass prints, and other geeky things. IanLino.com. IanLino.com.
Yeah, that guy rules.
No, just go check out Friendly Neighborhood Comics in Bellingham, Massachusetts, because that place is clean.
You should also check out Suit Up for Kids. They're on Facebook at Suit Up for Kids, or you can check them out on Twitter at Suit Up4Kids. It's a charity that raises money for children who are terminally ill and or just really sick. I shouldn't say terminally ill. Very ill children. It's not to make children very ill. It's to fight the illness. I can't stress that enough, because otherwise that would be a horrible charity.
I don't know. The guy depends on the kid, I guess. I'm not saying I'm pro giving children terminal diseases. I'm just saying we really should consider a case-by-case scenario.
I don't see many people making that kind of stand. It's very bold.
And I'm a bold man.
It's very, very progressive.
I'm bold. Yeah. And that will take us out. Thanks for listening to The Long Box, guys.
Piercing white eyes. So say if you want to, you can call me Uatu. Can I watch you? And you can watch me too. So say if you want to, you can call me Uatu. Can I watch you? And you can watch me too. So say if you want to, you could call me Uatu.
Guys, can you just listen in for a second? I've got a guy calling from the Microsoft. Where are you calling from? The Windows Technical Department. Can I put you on speakerphone for a second? Okay, speakerphone. Here we go. Okay, Peter, go ahead.
Yes, and the reason for this call is that we are receiving some non-notifications on our web server that your computer firewall security is not working fine.
Oh. Okay?
With the help of your computer license ID, we are receiving these unknown errors and notifications. So no need to worry, sir. I'm here for your help. And you need to just turn your computer on so I can diagnose what's wrong working inside your computer and fix it up.
Oh, it's okay. On right now. I'm looking right at it. What can I do for you, Peter?
Okay. So is your computer on right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sitting right in front of it.
Okay. So, can you focus on your keyboard?
Can I focus on it?
Yes. So, what exactly do you see on your computer screen, sir? Can you tell me? Could you tell me what exactly do you see?
I see on Skype. Your computer screen? I'm on a Skype phone call. I see Skype. Is Skype okay. Is something wrong with Skype?
Is Skype broken?
No. There's nothing wrong working with the Skype. I'm not talking about your Skype.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about your computer firewall security. No need to worry, sir. You need to just focus on your keyboard and tell me on the very left-hand side,
yep,
at the down bottom of your keyboard, on the very left-hand side, and the down at the down bottom of your keyboard, which key do you use?
You mean control?
On the... Yes. And just right next...
I have function on mine. Is that different?
Right next to the control key.
Yeah, the Windows.
I have a potato chip. I have a Windows key.
Along with the letter R. R like a rose. Right?
That and R, okay. Yep. That brings up the run dialogue. I have to say, though, due to your height, I do feel a lot more confident in you. I find tall people are more competent, don't you?
Sorry, what did you say? I can't get...
I said, don't you find that tall people are more competent? Like, generally, I don't trust short people. Being that close to the ground, I think it messes with their heads or something.
So, could you press Windows key along with the letter R, like in Boulder?
Oh, yeah, I've done that. I bet you get a lot of lady suitors, huh? Tall Indian fellow?
What did you say?
I said I bet you get a lot of suitors being a tall Indian fellow. You know, I think Indian women like tall Indian men. Do you find that's the case? You get a lot of trim?
Are you Indian?
Me? No.
Do you have any problem with Indians?
No, I love your culture.
So, what's the problem?
Nothing. I was just making conversation while we were trying to fix my computer. You don't like having conversations with strangers? That's okay.
I'm working for Microsoft right now. Yes, I'm from India, and I'm working for Microsoft. Yeah, I work for Microsoft. I'm a technician over here, and it's been four years.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
You need to press Windows key along with the lighter R and tell me now what comes up.
I mean, but you're handsome, right? You're a handsome. I get the sense you're a handsome guy, though.
Handsome, Dilo?
No, you're a handsome man, right? I mean, I get the sense you got a strong vocal presence.
What have I got? What did you say?
So I said you have a very strong vocal presence. I get the sense you're a very handsome man.
Yes. Please focus on your keyboard and whatever I should do that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just do whatever you tell me from now on. Captivated.
Windows key along with the lighter R, press both at the same time and release both of them at the same time and tell me what comes up.
The run dialogue. It's a dialogue that says run.
You need to type over there. First of all, make it blank. Make the run box blank at the address bar where you can type sure something. Make that blank.
Whose address?
Type over there. www.
Whose address? The address bar? What address?
www.
Whose address is this?
Sir, www.
Yeah.
Dot C, C like in Charlie.
Okay.
B like in Bob Rock.
Yeah.
T like in Tom.
Like in Tom?
Yes.
It's me!
T like in Tom.
Okay.
Then R like in Roses.
Can you actually speak in a slightly huskier voice?
R like in Roses.
Yeah.
R like dong? Is it R like dong? Because I'm typing it too.
R like I missed it. Could he start over?
Yes. Then put a dot after a R. Put a dot.
Put a dot. Yeah.
Yes. Then com, COM, and after a com, put a slash, forward slash. Okay? Then I have a support key. First com, then put a slash, forward slash, and then I have a support key for you.
Wait a second. I always forget which slash is which slash. How do you know which one's the forward slash?
You are using Windows operating system, and we have your computer support key, sir.
Yeah, no, the key, the forward slash. How do I know the difference between forward slash and backward slash? I always confuse those two.
Just type forward slash.
You don't know what is the forward slash and what is the backward slash?
Yeah, I always forget one. I mean, how do you really tell? Because, like, the bottom's forward on one and the other one's back on the other.
Do you see a shift key in the middle of your keyboard? Do you see a shift key in the middle of your
In the middle of my keyboard, it's a G.
Yes, shift key. Do you see a shift key?
The G key?
Shift.
I mean, maybe H is the middle. I can't tell for sure.
Sir,
might be J.
Left next to the shift key.
It could be J.
Which key do you see?
He means J, write the word slash forward.
Middle. How many shift key Do you have on your keyboard? How many shift keys do you have in your keyboard?
I have a gaming keyboard, so I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 6.
Six shift.
Yeah, I've got a gaming keyboard, so it's got the gaming thing on the right and the gaming thing on the left, and there's shifts everywhere. I mean, it's a big old pile of shift. I mean, you can't even get away from the shifts.
Do you have shifts all over your keyboard?
I mean, it's just... I just don't know which is the forward and the backward slash.
No. You don't need to press backward slash. You need to put forward slash.
Yeah, but
forward
which...
slash. You need to put
I don't know which one slash. Is the forward or the backward slash. How do you tell the difference? Hey, I have to go. I'm really hungry, and I got to take off, and I'm sure this is really important. But, you know, maybe sometime you'd like to meet me for dinner.
No need to put pressure forward.
What kind of food do you like?
No need to put a slash. Okay, hit enter.
I mean, you're
enter
a... Ask him if he has a brother.
Cut a slash and hit enter. Hello?
We could double date.
Tell him you have a son. Ask him if he has a daughter. You could arrange a marriage.
Hello?
Let's arrange a marriage.
All right, I'm sorry, sir. I have to go now.
What happened, gentlemen?
But I think you should have a wonderful day, and I'm glad I've consumed enough of your time so that you possibly do less damage to other people.
It will not take more than 5 minutes. Without a slap, you need to hit enter. Hit enter.
I really do appreciate your persistence. You're a tall, handsome man, and I appreciate the phone call. And you have a good night.
You're very tall and handsome. Thank you.
I couldn't take it any longer. Sorry, guys.